Welcome to Transformative Talk, Critical Conversations for Teachers. I'm Dr. Zid Haddad, a professor of instruction within the Department of Interdisciplinary Learning and Teaching at the University of Texas at San Antonio. I teach undergraduate and graduate courses in curriculum and instruction. In short, I teach teachers how to teach and save lives through the use of critical multicultural education as an approach to teaching and learning. Our podcast is produced by a different group of graduate students each week, giving them an opportunity to talk about what they're reading in my class, what they experience in the field, and how that impacts their own lives and understandings. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast from wherever you're listening. Also, you can ask us questions and engage with us further using the anchor.fm website or the anchor.fm app on your phone. You can submit questions and you can also send us voice messages. And remember, please share our podcast on all your socials so that we can build our audience. Thanks for listening, and here's today's episode.
This is Rachel
and Nicole,
your hosts for this episode of Transformative Talk. In this episode, we're going to talk about language as it is related to curriculum. We're master students in Dr. Haddad's curriculum instruction theory course, and we asked our classmates about their experience with language, how they use it in the classroom, and what they think of language in general.
So the following is a recording of our facilitation in class, and I'll be playing it out for everybody to listen. And in between, we'll be stopping and having discussions, kind of talking about what went on in class.
For that, so, you know, as long as I understand what you're saying, we're good. That's me. Sometimes I'll miss up too, and, you know, I let them miss up, they let me miss up. So it's all good.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyone else?
Not necessarily teaching it. Like, my kids go to Spanish every 2 days, multiple times a week. But what's kind of fun is there are twins in first grade, one's in my class and one's in the class across the hall, and they're Korean. And they did a big celebration of the Lunar New Year and like taught us all about it. Mom and dad and grandma came, but most recently they were grand champion. They won something of like the San Antonio International School virtual home Korean read. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they sent us a video of them performing it. And so we got to show it in class and kind of have a conversation about all of that stuff. And so I feel like we talk about it and how like different languages, what they are and all that stuff, more than I teach it, like teach a language.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, do you like try to learn like small words that you
can? Yeah, she's taught us. Okay, if I were to try right now, I can't. But like she taught us how to say like Happy New Year. She taught us how to say like, hello, my name is, and I'm very bad at it because learning a language at 25 is hard. But it's really
fun. You said they're Korean?
Yeah.
So I can tell you how to say thank you for teaching me in Korean.
But it's really fun. Like, she gets excited. Like, the little girl asked her today, like, oh, she goes to Korea in May. And they were like, well, how do you say, like, today was, how do you say hi? And she kind of looked at me and I was like, you can share if you want. You don't have to. Gave her the option. And so she taught everybody how to say hi today.
Oh,
so cute.
That's so cute. First grade. Yes. That's
okay. Before moving on, I kind of wanted to talk more about Lauren's experience and how she incorporates language into classroom, because that was the question of discussion that we had. Was how do you incorporate language into the classroom? I thought her story was really interesting, how she obviously said she didn't speak the language, but she still allowed like for her students to talk about it, and that opened a new door to talking about their culture and sharing to students that obviously didn't have that exposure to that culture with the Chinese New Year and all that kind of thing. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, me too. I love that she had like members of the family come into the classroom and talk too and share that, so the kids could see that their friends weren't making it up. This is
Yeah.
real. This is what we're doing.
I like that a lot too, where I know in one of our readings, I believe it was the one that comes from the feminist studies, I believe, where it talks about sharing stories, and one of our topics later in the presentation was about intergenerational stories. I thought that was cool too. Well, it ties in before we even got to our facilitation. She was talking about stories that students shared. So being really open to share stories was nice, I thought. Okay, let's move.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyone
I
else want to
also
share?
only know like a few Korean words, but like thank you, hello, and that's it.
Yeah, I just know a couple too, but mostly because of taking Taekwondo, which is a Korean martial arts. So that's why I know how to say it. It's Sabumnim Hamsahamnida, and it just means thank you, teacher, for teaching me,
Well, I think
essentially.
it's fun too. Like, I make it kind of like you said earlier, like, I'm gonna make a mistake. It's not easy speaking a new language, learning a new word, all of that stuff. So it kind of encourages the rest of the kids to try. Like, my quote of my classroom is like, mistakes are proof you're trying, because as long as we're trying, we're learning. And so it's fun. I'm like, I'll try. I'm gonna not do it 100% correct, and that's okay. And so it kind of encourages all of them to want to also try and keep practicing and stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
Awesome. I know this is like a casual way that I've done it in the past. I think music is like a great gateway into culture. And so what I would do when I did teach a while back, was just like have like a classroom playlist for my students to give me titles of songs that they like and that I'll play in the classroom while they're doing their work. And so that way I was really introduced to a lot of different kinds of music and different languages that I didn't even know that my kids were even listening to. Granted, I did have like I prohibited like foul language, of course,
Of
but
course, of course.
it was really interesting. And I think even, I would see the reactions when they would play the music and they would be so happy, but also being okay with having any kind of music in the classroom sparks acceptance, I think. And that's that I like when I think about it, that's like one of the ways I did it. But other than that, I'm not really sure. So it's really good to hear, from others in the class that like how they incorporated language. So
Ellie, a quick question. If it was like a different language that you didn't know, how would you know it didn't have like those words in there?
good question. So what I would do like beforehand, because I would, so at the end of the class or even in the beginning of class, I would ask them to write their songs on a sticky note. So I would get them at the end of the class, and then by the next class, I would have it ready. But during that time, I would look up translations or I would look up lyrics and then even watch the videos to even see, how it's expressed, I guess, and then select from there. Yeah, it took a little time and effort, but it was a really good, I think, thing to do.
Yes,
Yeah.
I like that idea of bringing music into the classroom. My teacher did it for me when I was in third grade, and like I still remember the songs she would play. It was awesome.
We have a Rise and Shine playlist we play every morning from like arrival until we start our morning meeting. And the kids can suggest and request songs and whatnot still, but like they know every morning it always starts with Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles, and then it shuffles the rest of other like Disney songs, happy morning, like Rise and Shine songs, all that stuff.
Nice.
Okay, before we move on to the next section, I kind of wanted to again talk about especially what Ellie, one of our peers, said about using music, because I know that's another gateway into culture is music, because music can come in all kinds of languages, obviously, and there's so many different genres, and I had never thought about that before, about how important music could be and talking about language. So I thought that was really interesting. And then I recently saw a TikTok of a teacher using music to get her students working. And I was like, why haven't I done that before? It's such a great idea, especially because all these kids listen to different types of music. Like, there's, like I said, so many genres. And I don't know why I never thought of using that before.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I discovered a lot of different languages through music. I feel like music is a deep part of my culture, especially since my mom's a worship leader. So I've always been around music at practices, choir practices, rehearsals, all over the place. So whenever I would hear a song and I'd be like, oh, I like this beat. And then I realized, oh, I don't know what they're saying. And I would get into it before I even realized what language it is that they're speaking. And it would cause me to look up other songs by that artist and get more interested in that language and that culture.
Mm-hmm. I like that too, because I've had that same experience where like when I was in high school, I got really into like K-pop, like Korean pop music, and I obviously didn't know anything before listening to the music about the culture and stuff. So not only was I introduced to a new genre, but I was introduced to a whole different culture of like the language, the food, the history, and it's really cool. So I love that she mentioned music.
Yeah, I didn't start listening to K-pop until after I got into Taekwondo. So I would like listen to K-pop to get me pumped up for my Taekwondo class.
We can talk about K-pop.
Yes.
Our favorite groups and stuff. Let's see.
Hello, computer. There we go. So ask yourself, what is my relationship with language? What experiences have I had because of the languages I speak or don't speak? So now you're thinking intrinsically, thinking about yourself, your experience growing up, your experience in school, your experience now when it comes to language.
I can tell, like, from my experience growing up, I didn't have a connection with my grandparents like my son has with my father and my mother, because my grandparents spoke Spanish fluently. And here I was, you know, didn't know a single thing. So I always see my parents talking to their parents because that was the language they spoke to them. And then I'd just be on the side. So seeing what my son has made me, you know, feel that I missed out growing up with them, what little time I had with them, because they passed at an early age for me, but like I wasn't able to connect with them like I see my son connecting with his grandparents. I know it was jokingly, but you know, the kids in the hallway who speak Arabic and speak the other languages, you know, as much as I want to connect with them and speak their language, you know, even if it's just to move along, you know, get to class, don't be late, I know they would appreciate, you know, somebody speaking their language too, especially being in a foreign country, you know, that's brand new. And now you're immersed in this new world. And when I say world, but this new state of mind that you have to learn English because this is what we speak in this country, you know? I don't know. I mean, my relationship with language, I know it's important. I need to make more effort into trying to learn more languages, especially the languages that I'm around. When I worked at McDonald's, kitchen staff when I was a manager was Spanish speaking, and I spoke broken Spanish, so I spoke Spanglish. But you know, at the end of the year, you know, I spoke just as much Spanish as they did, because I was caught up in their world, and in order for me to, you know, help them and whatever, I had to speak Spanish. So that forced me to learn the language more. So I think language is important. Obviously, it's the way we communicate. Just growing up, I wish I had more of an ability so that way I can connect with past family members.
Mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned Spanglish, because I would consider Spanglish in itself a language, just because it's something, you know, combining to,
like, it's like AAV.
It's like AAV, kind of, yes. Yeah. I agree. Where, like, it has its own rules and, like, I don't know about grammar exactly, but it has its own rules.
This made me think of a class. My other class that I'm taking is children's literature. And we just finished reading They Call Her Fregona. Mm-hmm. And so that book is actually written by a local author. And he's basically telling what it's like growing up in a border town, where you and a lot of your peers are Spanish speaking students in this American school. And one of the things that one of the poems that he talked about, it kind of made me irritated, but also was good. Basically, the poem was saying he's in a Spanish class, and one of his classmates is asked to talk about his family in Spanish. And so he starts talking, and the teacher stops him and he says, that doesn't sound like Castellano.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. The Spain Spanish. And so the author, the main character, raises his hand and he's like, do you have a question, mijo? He goes, no, not a question, just an explanation. My colleague here is telling you that about his family in a way that we all understand. He's using the Tex-Mex that we use. And so I think that you really know what he said. And the teacher gives him detention for that, because he's being supportive. Really? Yeah. Yeah. And I actually, almost that whole poem was in Spanish. So I had to find someone in my office who spoke Spanish and say, can you tell me what this says? But after she translated it for me, I was like, that teacher was mean.
That's wow. The detention. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I recommend that book, though. It's really good.
I'll have to read it, because that's One other thing before we continue, there's a lot of points that Saul, again, one of our peers, said. He mentioned not having a connection with his family because of the language. So that's something, obviously, that, like, going back to our question, like, something he lacks is that connection. And I just thought that was, I mean, that's the reality for a lot of people too, that because of the language that maybe you didn't want to learn or weren't taught or whatever it was, now it's, that relationship is, it's not gone, but it's harder to keep, I would say.
Yeah. Definitely. It's harder when you can't communicate with somebody too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because how else, I mean, signs and pictures can only do so much, you know. But yeah. I think we'll continue. Rules where sometimes you, I can't remember the English word for it, but sometimes you put one word in front of the other for it to make sense. And if you don't put it the way it's supposed to, then it sounds wrong.
What's the Spanish word for it?
Like acomodar. I don't know how to say it in English.
Like to fix, like to.
Yes, to fix, to fit. Yes.
But in order.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Exactly.
Nice.
Thank you.
So my grandparents were also, they only spoke Spanish, and I was around them a lot. So I kind of picked up Spanish. Like, I understand Spanish completely. I can read it and understand it, but I really don't speak it fluently. And that's because my mom, my parents, they never, like, at home, they would just speak English. They wouldn't speak Spanish to us. And even when they did, like, they wouldn't, like, not force us, but they wouldn't make us, like, speak back to them in Spanish. So I understand it, but I wish I would have, like, I wish my mom would have made me learn more Spanish. So I'm now trying to get her to teach my three-year-old, because she takes care of him while I'm in school and stuff. So
yeah.
But other than that, I don't know any other languages.
So I'm awful at learning languages, absolutely awful.
Same.
My bachelor's was in ESL, and so I had to take Spanish, and I basically barely squeaked by, to the point where even like the leader of the bilingual program called me and was like, you need to retake that class. So it's like barely made it. But I love languages. I love all of them. It doesn't even matter what language it is. If it's different from mine, I love it. And I also love English. My brother speaks Japanese. He taught himself, and then he like took Japanese in high school and like basically greeted his teacher in Japanese. It was kind of cool. He's also taken Chinese, so he knows some of that. My grandmother grew up in Hong Kong because her parents were missionaries. So some of my family knows Chinese. My mom knows Spanish very, very well. And then I have a friend who's trying to teach me Hebrew, and I don't know why, because I told him I'm bad at learning languages. But every time we talk, he says something in Hebrew, and he waits until I translate it.
So. I feel like I'm the same way. I think languages are super, super cool and intriguing. I can't learn one to save my life. And I think it all kind of is rooted in when I was a kid, and I started taking Spanish at my school in kindergarten. That was before I was diagnosed with dyslexia and dysgraphia. So English barely made sense, much less to learn Spanish. And so I just finally got frustrated and was like, screw this, I'm just gonna pass and get over it. And that followed me all the way through high school. And like, looking back on it, I really wish I would have taken a step and kind of figured out how I need to learn a different language. But it's kind of like full circle now, because my dad always joked growing up about how he wanted to learn Spanish. He wanted to learn Spanish. He bought Rosetta Stone, never did it. He was like, I'm gonna learn Spanish. He just married this past summer my now stepmom, who is from Uruguay, and she's forcing him to go to Spanish class once a week. And her entire family, she's like, you have to talk to him in Spanish. And it's so funny to see him like try. Like, we were driving around in San Antonio and he was talking and she said something in Spanish. She was like, oh, hold on. And you can see like the wheels turning. And I was like, that's what I need. I'm just going to make Marcella talk to me in Spanish and then figure it out with all my free time that I don't have. Maybe exactly. I'll pick up on some Spanish.
That's what I keep thinking to myself.
That reminds me of this TikTok that I saw where this Hispanic lady, she's married to a white man, and she's like making him speak, making him learn Spanish. And she has like this powerful Nerf gun. And whenever she like randomly will ask him a question in Spanish, if he doesn't answer correctly, or if he like doesn't know what to say in Spanish to respond to her question, she starts shooting him with the Nerf
gun. Yes. I saw someone who did that with a water gun.
I'm gonna tell Marcella.
He's like, wait.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. A whole like precious full circle moment was at their wedding. My dad was so stressed and nervous because he wrote like a speech to her family in Spanish.
Aww.
And he was reading it. It sounded awful. Like he did.
But he tried.
He tried so hard, but like he sent it to only one other person. Her best friend knew about it. She helped him translate it. She helped him practice. And then of course, like nerves and all that stuff. None of the pronunciation was great, but you could see like her entire family was like, oh my God, he's trying. It was really cute.
Oh, love it.
My experience with language, well, so I grew up learning, kind of like learning AAVE, but also like primarily I think I kind of just learned like automatically like how to like code switch between AUBE and like proper English. And then I learned, I took Spanish in high school, but it wasn't like really Spanish. It was like just like vocab.
It's high school Spanish. Yeah.
It was like not anything, but I thought it was really good. And then I went to college and we had to take like a, I don't know, language placement exam. And like, all of it, like for all of the questions, I literally just had to put no say, like, I don't know, because I didn't know anything. And then I got placed in like the absolute beginner.
Okay. There was a lot said. We had a lot of good conversation, but we're going to pause it right there. And once we come back after the break, we'll continue the conversation about language. We'll listen to another of our peers, what they think, what their language is, what their relationship with it is, and all those good experiences.
All right.
Welcome back to this week's Transformative Talk. I'm Nicole, and
I'm Rachel.
As your host, before the break, we were listening to our classmates' discussions during our facilitation. They were talking and sharing about their relationship with language, and that's what we're going to continue doing right now.
Love it.
My experience with language, well, so I grew up learning, kind of like learning AAVE, but also like primarily I think I kind of just learned like automatically like how to like code switch between AUBE and like proper English. And then I took Spanish in high school, but it wasn't like really Spanish. It was like just like vocab.
It's high school Spanish. Yeah.
It was like not anything. But I thought it was really good. And then I went to college and we had to take like a, I don't know, language placement exam. And like all of it, like for all of the questions, I literally just had to put no say, like I don't know, because I didn't know anything. And then I got placed in like the absolute beginner Spanish class. And then I just I really like fell in love with it in college because it was more than just, I don't know, I had really good professors and it became more than just a like school subject. Like I was learning about the culture and the history, and I really found like such a love for like, oh my gosh, I feel like I have this superpower. Like I get to connect with people in a totally different way, like in their language. Like it's beautiful to be able connect with people like more deeply when you're speaking their like native language, or even if you're just speaking a different language. It's like really awesome. But it definitely is harder to learn when you're older. So I just kind of got lucky because I was forced to take 4 years of it. I kind of been struggling Well, I've always struggled with this, but I think I really began to struggle with it when I was in college, where just like looking at all these other cultures that have such a strong connection with language, and like they have their own language and they have a, you know, like it's just, I've always been so sad that in my culture, like we lost our language, like we don't have. I was just like, oh, I wish we had like our own language, like Spanish and French, and it just makes me so sad. And like, I wish there was some way that we would have been able to preserve it, but it just like, it got stolen from us. So that makes my heart ache. But there is a, that I like, there's a language that I think slaves spoke that I heard that's called like Tutanese or something like that. And I'm really interested in if that's something that I can learn, like I would love to learn that, or just if there's any sort of language that was spoken during that time, I would love to learn that, just to kind of have that piece of me knowing that, I mean, yeah, it's probably not a lot of people are going to be able to speak it, but just being able to preserve that, I think that would be really special. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think language is beautiful. It's really powerful, and mm-hmm. it creates connections. I'm currently speaking to a guy who he came from Angola, and he only speaks Portuguese, and well, he speaks Portuguese and Spanish, and he's learning English, and we primarily communicate in Spanish, but I'm learning a bit of Portuguese, and he's learning English and Spanish, and even that's like, it just feels really special to be mm-hmm. able to kind of work together to I don't know, experience like life in different parts of culture in a really like, I don't know, communal way. I think it's really awesome. Mm-hmm. So,
I yeah, love thanks. All of that. I like that you mentioned like the history and all of that, and how it like language was taking away from people, because even I've thought about it, how like Spanish isn't my native language, like I'm indigenous, but because we were colonized, that's now my native language, and it's not, but it is. So it's I feel kind of the same thing, where like, you know, my language was also stolen, and now I have a new language, but it's not mine. So
yeah.
Well, since that's the, okay, we're gonna stop it there, because that was the end of our discussion of our first two slides, our introduction to our facilitation. Any thoughts, Rachel?
Just that it started to get a little heavy towards the end. there's talking about language being stolen, which is one of the topics in our readings. Language is genocide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just how painful it is to be your part of your culture that's so important is being slowly taken away to the point where no one remembers it anymore. And there's I even talked to the person that had translated that poem for me, and she was saying that she was the first ESL teacher in her school to apply for that job, because there were no Spanish teachers available, mm-hmm. just in general. So, I mean, how can you continue to have languages taught if you don't even have teachers who can teach it?
Mm-hmm. That's very true. I agree. It did get very heavy towards the end. But it comes with it, right? With all of the language stuff that we had to talk yeah. about, all the languages that are lost now, and not only the languages, but the cultures, like the traditions, religions, customs, all of it is gone because of colonization and things like that. So
they even talked about that in the book too. Honestly, this I didn't realize this book was going to be so connected to our class. I just happened to finish it like a couple days ago. But anyway, they were talking about, it's October, and so we just had Halloween, and now it's Day of the Dead. And someone in their family was like, no, we don't celebrate Day of the Dead. That's not us. And someone else in the family was like, actually, that is from our culture. They just took it away from us. Mm-hmm. So we need to bring it back. And so they decided to celebrate Day of the Dead that year.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Like reclaiming parts of your culture. Yeah. I love that.
So definitely read that book. They call her. And they call me Wero is the other book. It's a two book set. But it's super cute too.
We'll have to add it on to our recommended list.
Oh yeah.
All right. Our next segment for our podcast. So a little bit about me. I'm a bilingual teacher. I teach high school level kids. I teach them world geography, the regular and the AP version. And I also teach US history. And it's all bilingual. So all my kids learn in Spanish. It's the same subject. It's the same content. Everything's the same. The only thing that changes is the language, obviously. And so I thought, since our presentation is over language, who better to ask than the kids that are learning in a different language? And so I had some of my kids ask themselves the same questions that we asked our peers. What is your relationship with language? And what do you think? Because it's a program that they're in. It's a bilingual program that they've been in it since they were in kindergarten, pre-K. Oh, that they've been in the same bilingual classes for elementary, middle, and now high school. And so they've, you know, learned along the way both languages, English and Spanish. And so I wanted to know what they thought was their connection to language, what experiences they've had with language or lack of experiences, what opportunities do they think they have. And I got to interview some of them and record some of their responses. So I'll be playing one of my junior students who's in my AP US history class right now, so everybody can listen.
They would say, okay, other consent.
What do you think dual language has done for you?
Dual language has brought me a sense of community with other students. Whenever literally going to any other class, I don't know nobody else. And like, that's how I met Ariana again, because we used to be in the same elementary, and seeing her almost in every other class, I was just like, oh, I remember who she was. And it just brought that long lost friendship into something more, and like, we're best friends eventually. We help each other throughout like all our classes, where we both benefited from the relationship that we have now.
I don't know if you could catch all of it because there's a lot of background noise from obviously the juniors having their like free day that they had. I really like that the first thing she mentioned was community, was that sense of community, of being able to have the same friends that you've had since elementary school. So you've grown up with the same people. And you know their quirks and everything, and I thought that was really nice that they have that, because I thought when she was talking about it, I thought back to my experience in school, and I remember some kids from elementary school, but not everybody, and I thought that was really cool that they have that experience where they remember every single kid in their elementary school class because they're the same ones.
So, that is really nice.
Mm-hmm. And I it was really nice. And then next part of the same interview with the same student, she talks a little bit about the academic part of it, because she mentioned mostly like friendships and stuff, but then she talks about academics. So I'll be playing that as well.
Senior, where we both benefited from the relationship we have now.
So that's socially. What about like academically?
Academically, it's the same. Like we study together, we practice together. Like when we have a question, like we automatically know who to go to and where to get that kind of information and ask and like question each other. We don't have a fear to say like whether you're wrong and not take everything as a factual thing when it's with each other. It's a sense of community as well. You're not, these are the kids that you've been with in elementary or like middle school, so.
Yeah, again, that word community, it stuck out to me that they notice those things that obviously they've grown up together, everything, but it's a community. I don't know what other word to use than that, because it really encompasses everything that language is and culture and stuff. So
yeah, it matters to them to have other people that have experienced what they've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
My experience was completely different because I was a military kid, so we're constantly moving. So as a, like, we have our own kind of language too, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, my dad went TDY. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're staying in TLF, and like, what the heck does that mean? You know. But you say to a military kid or a military wife, they know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, TDY, that means he went overseas to do something military. I don't know. TLF, temporary learning, or no, temporary living facility. So like it's basically like a hotel, but not. It's not a hotel. Not like fancy.
I like that too, because it's not really. It is a language, as in there's different terms to things, but it's still English, but it's not. I don't know how to explain it, but does that make sense? So I think that's really interesting too, that there in our English, there's different branches to that. Like going back to the AAVE, like that, obviously I don't speak it, but it's really interesting that there's like all these different branches to one language.
Yeah. Or even like the Tex-Mex.
Yeah, Tex-Mex.
That's not a language, but it is.
It's
how we talk here in San Antonio. It's how they talk in this town I lived in Colorado. It's people from Mexico and from that state that kind of mingled together. And like, I would have a kid, oh, go get your chunkless. Chunkless. Oh,
what else? I like that. It makes me also think of I have family from that are in California, and now that you mentioned Tex-Mex, they don't understand because they're in California, so it's a whole different type of like Spanglish. So even in the Spanglish, which is a branch of English, is still different.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that.
Yes. And it's crazy how languages work, that if you don't like stop to think about it, you don't think about it, of how complex language is.
I think it's great that we talk about it in this class, because as teachers we have all of these students from all different walks of life, all different cultures. And we don't understand how important their culture is to them. just like the kid in that book that I was reading, he was struggling. He was this really, really bright student, straight A student, never got in trouble ever. And then that year he was being sent to the principal's office like every week because he was like, my teachers don't respect us. And it was because of experiences like that, where he's listening to his teacher basically make fun of his classmate because he's not speaking correct Spanish.
Yeah. That's just, you mentioned that and it reminds me of one of the interviews I had with one of my students, one of my freshman students. She, and this is kind of a heavy story, so but I still wanted to share it because that's the reality for a lot of the kids in the program and out of the program as well. Unfortunately, a lot of the teachers don't really understand the program at my school. They assume that the program is for kids that don't speak English, which is not the truth at all. Most of my kids talk to me in English instead of Spanish because that's what they're more comfortable in. But I had one girl on Friday tell me that her English teacher gave them an assignment to write an essay, right, as one does, and so part of the assignment was to check in with the teacher to see how the progress was going. And so my student, she goes up, she gives her her essay and stuff, and the teacher goes, English isn't your first language, is it? And my student is like, she steps back and she's just like, well, no. And then the teacher goes, it's probably Spanish, isn't it? And at that point, my student said that she just felt really just not comfortable, not, I don't know what exact, I can't remember what exact word she said, but she obviously felt singled out. And she told me, while she was telling me this story, she's like, what if it's not even Spanish? What, why are you assuming that it's Spanish? What if I speak like Cantonese, or what if I speak Portuguese? Why are you assuming I speak Spanish? And so I told her, I was like, that's not okay. Like you because apparently the teacher said something like, yeah, well, you need to learn English writing structure because blah blah blah, this and that. And my student was very upset, and she said that when she got home, she started bawling, she started crying and crying because she obviously felt really bad about what happened. And she told her parents, and her parents were obviously really upset about what happened. And I told my student, I was like, no, you shouldn't feel bad because you know two languages,
right?
So you're way ahead of other people because you know two. You might as well, you might not write perfect English, but you can speak and write and read in Spanish, and you can do it in English as well. So don't feel bad because you're worth, like, wow. I don't even know how to explain it, but I tried to make her see that, yeah, okay, your English may not be perfect, but you shouldn't feel bad because you're learning. That's the whole point of it, is that you're learning. That's why you're in these classes, to learn. And I was thinking about it, and it made me really sad because those experiences, like, they don't leave you. They stay with you forever. You'll constantly think about it, how this teacher, when I was in whatever grade I was, said this to me, and then now I feel bad, and now I don't want to speak this language in fear of, you know, something else happening again. So it made me really upset, to say the least. It made me upset.
That I mean, I like to see some of these teachers that are like, or not even teachers, just like people in everywhere, like, okay, you're going to make fun of this child for not having perfect English or not speaking perfect English or having an accent, okay, you go to a different country, mm-hmm. or you go across the border, mm-hmm. to Mexico or even to Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. and see how you do.
Exactly.
Like, you don't know what it's like.
Exactly. That's what she said too. She mentioned that, she said, it's not my fault that, because her parents are Honduran. So she said, mm-hmm. it's not my fault that I'm the first one to learn the language. It's not my fault that I had to teach myself English since I was in elementary school. Obviously, I'm not going to know it perfectly. And I was like, you're so right. So
it's not fault. It's people who can learn another language. I applaud them, first of all, because I can't, like I said. but two, that you have so many more opportunities. I mean, just it makes you a more well-rounded person. Mm-hmm. And I think some people just don't understand that or realize that.
Yes, I agree. I agree completely. Especially for the opportunities, especially here in South Texas. I know, mm-hmm. some of the kids, when I was interviewing them, a big thing that they were mentioning about being in the program is that how many more opportunities they would have because they speak both languages.
Yeah.
Because they can translate, obviously, read and write and speak it. So some of them were saying how they were more likely to get hired in the workplace because they speak too, and that's true.
Exactly. Yeah. Even a job as simple as, what was it? I was in an apartment complex looking for a new apartment, and the person behind me comes up to the guy and says, "Habla español." He's like, "Oh, sí. Like, I can't do that job. I can't help that guy find an apartment that's just right for him because I don't know exactly what he needs, and mm-hmm. I can't understand him when he tells me." Mm-hmm. But a student that is bilingual can, and bam, you've got a part-time job, you're making extra money, and bam, you go to school, you can afford it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so many more opportunities when you speak more than one. Let's see. I like this.
Well, we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. Just one other thing, going back to the interviews, the students talked about opportunities. I noticed one student did mention that their teachers hold them to higher standards because they're in the program. And I was really impressed because I did not think of that. And it's kind of true that some teachers, not all, will hold them to higher regard because they are seen as dedicated for being in this program for so long when they could have just, you know, dropped from it and taken some other classes, and it would have been easier on them.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things, some of them mentioned how it helped them learn English, which is not something that somebody would have thought about being in the bilingual program, but it's just things that more people need to know.
I actually did too.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I Spanish class, mm-hmm. Because of my Spanish class, I understood English grammar better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's really
so. Yeah, it's weird, but it's true.
Yeah. It's like a backward ways of learning. Yeah. But I thought that was really interesting too, especially now that you mentioned that I didn't really think of that either. There's a lot of things that I didn't really think about before reading these articles.
Yeah.
Let's see. One.
You got some smart kids on your hands.
Yes, I'm really happy with all the interviews I did get. I mean, they're really good kids. But one of them did mention how being in the program makes them love their country more, because they get to learn a lot of new things while learning the language along the way. So that really stuck out to me, that they're learning to love a country that maybe they didn't even get to live in, because they came here when they were really little. Mm-hmm. So it's like creating a connection between language and culture and all of those things. But yeah, those are my interviews.
That's so awesome.
Let's see.
Well, if you want to learn more about this topic, we would suggest reading The Curriculum Foundations Reader by Dr. Ryan et al. And The Importance of Inchiquin Language in Advancing Indigenous Feminist Education, published by the Feminist Studies Incorporated. Like I mentioned, those two books by David Bowles. The first one is They Call Me Wero, and the second one is They Call Her Fregona, and they're both prose poetry books, but they don't read like poetry, they read like a story. So I definitely suggest reading those.
Well, that's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you want to support, we do then share, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you discover our show. That's all for now, but we'll see you in the next episode of Transformative Talk. Bye.
Bye.